WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Often the harshest criticism of a government comes from a prominent dissident within. A case in point is the last novel by the Nobel Prize-winning West German author Heinrich Böll. John Leonard has a review of Women in a River Landscape by Heinrich Böll.
The death of Heinrich Böll 3 years ago robbed the West of one of its great liberals. In his novels and stories, and in his service to intellectuals everywhere for 2 decades as an officer of PEN, the International Writers' Organization, he tried to make sense of a divided Germany, an age of totalitarianism, the meaning of terrorism, and the corruptions of the very language we employ to think about all this history gone bloody and wrong. If books like The Clown, Group Portrait with Lady, and The Safety Net seemed less artistically daring and persuasive than similar work by German-language authors like Günter Grass, Peter Handke, and Christa Wolf, they overflowed, nevertheless, with passionate intelligence, stricken conscience, a knowingness about the past and class divisions and the Catholic Church and the modern mind at the end of its tether. He was as morally scrupulous as Thomas Mann and altogether more agreeable as a human being. He worked in his prose toward the saving scruple, the decency that redeems us from squalor and oppression. His was the sort of humanism, as old as Erasmus, that's out of fashion in a century of ideologues and assassins. Women in a River Landscape is an amazing valedictory, a novel entirely in dialogues and soliloquies. The river, of course, is the Rhine. The women, half a dozen of them, are the wives and daughters and lovers of modern-day German bankers, industrialists, judges, and politicians. These women know the truth about a corrupt West German government and the return to power of former Nazis who once ordered the slaughter of their own children, who enriched themselves with the gold from the teeth of the Jews they murdered in the concentration camps, whose avuncular television personalities are a kind of desecration. If the government is corrupt, according to Böll, so is the justice system, and so are the medical profession and the bedroom. For if these women speak out loud of what they know, they will be sent away to expensive hospitals for the temporarily insane, where they will hang themselves from curtain rods. Even the church is corrupt. The Soviet ambassador might show up at a state funeral or a mass, but Christ certainly isn't there. According to Erica, they've driven him away. He was absent even during the consecration. Not because they're all so sinful, so utterly corrupt, there's nothing new about that. It was because they don't feel themselves to be sinful. They take bribes, they rejoice at the arrival of the rockets, they worship death, and the precious oil that should have been used to anoint his feet, they've put it on the market, dealt in it on the stock exchange. These extraordinary women will win one small victory by the force of their dissent, and they will be abetted in that dissent by a mysterious midnight subversive whose terrorism is entirely symbolic. He sneaks into the houses of bankers and chops up their grand pianos and stacks the piano pieces by the fireplace for a ready burning. No more Beethoven, no more Brahms, no more Mozart. Morally, Germany is tone deaf. Listen to these voices and you will be reminded of the mothers in part 2 of Goethe's Faust, except that what they speak is a curse. From the grave, Heinrich Böll is telling Germany that he loathes it. Not the least of the sins of that country and this century is that they drove such a brave spirit to such a despairing execration.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine. He's also a columnist for New York Newsday. He reviewed Women in a River Landscape by Heinrich Böll, published by Knopf.